Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand as you are able for the reading? And hear now the greatest story ever told. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Did Easter kind of slip up on you this year, or is it just me? I couldn't decide. Even though I was in the church every day, it just seemed like we had more time to get ready, and suddenly it was here. It might have been the weather. It was cool one day, and it was warm the next day, and it rained a lot. Maybe it was the time change that happened. It just sort of snuck up on me. We were absorbed around here with where we gonna put them, how we gonna seat them, how do we do Easter without the sanctuary, without the organ and the pipes, without the room. I didn't even call to see if my family was coming to lunch. I found out on Friday my family is coming to lunch. They said, "Ma, we always have Easter with you." And I said, "Well, it'd be all right if we skipped one time." No, we're coming. It'll be all of them except Canaan, who left for Bahrain on Friday. And maybe Maddie, who had a prom last night and might not wake up in time. But then they'll add Tyler and Nick and two or three more. And so I went to Cracker Barrel and said, "My family's coming to lunch," and it snuck up on me. And so I'll give them the receipt, and they'll go by Cracker Barrel and pick it up. And when I get home, maybe they will have already eaten. I think the distractions got in my way. Instead of my mind being on Easter, it seemed to me that I was very stuck in Lent. Canaan leaving, worrying about Saudi Arabia. The terrorism in Brussels was a grave reminder to me of 9/11. I bet it was to you. Paris, school shootings, everyday 6 o'clock news. Just sort of felt like I was stuck in Lent. Alan stopped by my office the other day and he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And then he closed the door and I thought, uh-oh. He said, an eighth grade student had asked me a hard question, he said, and he's like all good teachers who want to answer carefully and thoughtfully. The question she asked him was this: wouldn't we be better off without any world religions? That was followed by a statement. Eighth grade. If there were no world religions of any kind, there would probably be no wars. There is some truth to what she says. He stopped by my office to hear what I would say to her. And for me, suddenly, in spite of Brussels, in spite of Saudi Arabia, in spite of terrorism, in spite of all the 6 o'clock news, suddenly it was Easter. I was ready. I was excited. I was glad we had only a few days of Lent left. Let me see if I can explain it to you this way. Brussels right now, and rightly so, is scared. You know how to spell scared? S-C-A-R-E-D, scared. Remember how we all were after 9/11? We didn't want to fly. We didn't want to gather in large crowds without some anxiety. We couldn't go to a Braves game. Some of us still are. But now we are scarred. And did you know that if you are scarred, your scar is one of the strongest places in your body? Paris, USA, many other places. Scarred. And because of those scars, we can put our arms around Brussels and help them with their pain because we've been where they are. And that makes it sacred. Henry Nouwen, if you're at Candler, they would teach you to pronounce it Henri Nouwen, wrote a book called The Wounded Healer. It's about Jesus. He talked about how Jesus and his woundedness makes him a healer for our own wounds. Lets us know he knows how we feel. Like Jesus praying in Gethsemane, scared in his humanity, scarred after the crucifixion, sacred because of the sacrifice he made. And all because of the sacrifice he made for us, we are an Easter people. We are a people of tomorrow, no matter what. And there's always tomorrow. No religion? No religion? I can't imagine what it would be like with no religion. No Jesus? Nothing left but hopelessness, if that's the case. I was with a bunch of youth, and I asked them, somebody asked me the other day, how long I did youth. And I said, well, counting the time I was one, about 60 years. One of the young women in that group's mother had died very suddenly. She was only 15 years old when that happened. And I asked that group, I want you to draw a picture of God. What does God look like to you? Here's chalk, here's pencils, here's paper, here's construction paper, here's Play-Doh. Show me God. This is exactly what she wrote. This I still have in a file. This was her picture of God. You know how you see those no parking signs and no smoking signs? And she drew one of those and then wrote hopelessness in the middle. That's her picture of God. I think she's right. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for Easter. I'm so thankful for the church and so thankful for family, even if they do come on my busiest time of the year to eat lunch. None of those things would be were it not for Easter. We've all stood beside a hole in the Georgia red clay under a green tent with a funeral home's name embroidered over it. And most of us, because of Easter, have been able to get up and walk away from that, knowing it was not the end, but the beginning, a new beginning, an eternal beginning, an everlasting beginning, a beginning that had no end. We leave that place knowing that fact because of the resurrection of our Lord, because we believe and have faith in the risen Lord. Because we are the only world religion, are you with me? The only world religion that has a living God, a God that put on skin and walked with us and lived with us and hurt with us and got scars with us and pitched his tent in our camp. A God who died for us and then rose again. We Christians alone are a people of that kind of hope. And I want to tell you, and I want you to hear this, that somehow Easter snuck up on me this year, but when it came to me, when I wanted to wallow around in Lent and grief, there was Easter knocking on my door. And you know what I realized again for the umpteenth time, and when will I ever learn it and it be eternal? Evil cannot overcome Easter. Brussels is only in a stage. As painful as it is, as scared as they are, as scarred as we are, evil cannot overcome Easter. It cannot. It will not. The light came, and the darkness will not overcome it. Sort of snuck up on me this year. But I was glad when it came. The tomb is empty. Mary said so, and Peter said so, and John said so, and I say so. The Lord has risen. If it were not so, would he have gone to prepare a place for us? Jesus told them all to go and tell the Lord is risen. And now he's telling us, go and tell the Lord is risen. And to that eighth grader, to the doubter, to the skeptics, to the down and out and depressed, to our children who grew up under a shadow of terrorism and fear, it is Easter. The Lord has come. We are a people of hope. He is not going to leave us alone. It means this Easter that death and evil has already been defeated. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what. Praise be to God. Amen.